Praise God. From St. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 50, we want to talk about a seemingly hopeless situation. A seemingly hopeless situation. Many times in life, one can find themselves in a seemingly hopeless situation. It literally seems like there is no way out. Has anyone ever been there? You just, so much stuff is coming at you. It just seemed like there was no way out. No matter where you look, no matter who you talk to, there is no solution. Or if there is a solution, for some reason, you can't take advantage of it. It's available for this person, or it's available for those people, but because of your circumstances and because of something you may not have or because of something you may not be, it doesn't apply to you. This is a rough situation to be in. What do you do? Where do you go when it seems all hope is lost? Is there anyone else to consult? Is there any help anywhere? Strangely enough, many of us have to get to this point in life or in a situation like this before we will give God an opportunity to be God. Before we give God an opportunity to demonstrate his love and concern for us, some of us have to get to this point. Some of us have been so blessed growing up, we don't need God. Some of us are so hard-headed, we don't need God. Some of us have gotten so used to living on the edge, we don't need God. We're going to make it all by ourselves. We don't have to tell God, thank you for the job, because my skills and my intellect and my connection got me the job. And see, a lot of times we don't realize how good God has been, because he's been so good that we begin to think it's us. Amen. Amen. Listen to yourself sometimes. I did this. I did that. I went over here. I preached me an awesome sermon. Folks, Atlanta, you ain't preached nothing.
No.
Because of the anointing is not on your life. If you haven't done any study in God's word, you feed God folk junk food.
My God.
Oh, okay. All right. Whatever God has called us to do, we have a responsibility to make sure that we are prepared to do what God has called us to do. We owe it to our brothers and sisters to be prepared to minister unto them, to give unto them that what thus saith the Lord, or what God has given us to give them. They are entitled to that because you are a member of the kingdom of God. You are a member of this church, and God has in fact gifted you to deliver to the people of God that which he has gifted you with. It's not your gift. It's not your ministry. It's not your church. It's not your choir. It's not your diaconate board. No, it ain't. It belongs to God. We got that thing twisted. We're supposed to work together so everybody can be blessed. I'm not impressed with folks say, at least I was here, but where the rest of the folk? Did you check in with them? Did you call the other ministries? Did you talk with them? Did you see what they needed? Are you working with them? Are you praying with them? Come on. That's why it says, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. Because when you come to church, that's where all the gifts are being activated and worked, that you might get what you need. You may not get it all from the sermon, but from a piece of the song, from a prayer somebody put up, from somebody walked in and gave a testimony. You got something from the... It's not all just hinging on the sermon. It has to come together. That's why we have an order of service. And every now and then God comes in and preempts the service because he got a few folk in there that need a little something that we might not get to if we stick to the paper too long. A seemingly hopeless situation. That's a rough place to be in. Because it seems like people don't even care. Sometimes you can get so depressed, you don't even know somebody trying to help you. You're so on edge that somebody trying to help you, you get upset with them. Might help you. It looked like I need some help, though. It does, and stuff like that. In John chapter 5, I think someone would agree with me that this man who was around the pool for 38 years, either in the same condition or worsening condition, was in a seemingly hopeless situation.
Right.
As we take a closer look at these verses of Scripture, let us consider these three points. Number one, the water. Number two, the man's condition. And number three, the encounter with Jesus. Number one, the water. Number two, the man's condition. And number three, the encounter with Jesus. I come to let somebody know today, you might be going through some rough time in your life, but let God in. Let God in. When you finish getting mad, when you finish cussing the folk out that mess with you, when you get finished crying, come on, y'all. Once we get through all that, if the problem is still there, cut through the chase. Let's look at this water. John 5, verses 1. After this, there was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And that's put there because they want us to know near the end of these verses, the Jews are going to get mad because this man is doing something on the Sabbath. This man carrying a Sealy Posturepedic. On the Saturday. But see, they didn't know what he'd been through. Oh, my God. Some folks, see, sometimes you don't know what folk been through. So when they come in church, stop messing with them like that. Oh, no. See, you got some folk, God done blessed them, and they so intent in coming to tell God, thank you. You can't be talking about you can't sit here. Only the deacons can sit. You better... You know, folk ain't concerned about your seat. They're trying to give God the praise. See, sometimes you got to have enough spirit of discernment to know when to let that down. When let that, come on.
Wow.
Sometimes you got to have spirit. Because sometimes we chase folk away with all our nonsense. You know, sometimes, you know, it's not time to be administrative. It's time to serve. Time to be sensitive to what's going on in the house. Oh, I know they don't smell. They don't smell good. But guess what? They're here for some reason. There's a time you and I didn't smell good. And we had to smell good off. But to God we stuck. So much right now. Been in church 30, 40 years. Got title. Still sticking to God. Still thinking. Still stinking. I said some of us, don't get mad.
Right.
I included myself.
Right.
Somebody heard somebody out on my left side of my right side of my spirit say, who do you think he's talking to? Said the right side of my spirit. You ain't totally get me. Now look at verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, having five covered porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And I need to stop right here to let somebody know that you've been waiting for the moving of the water, but you couldn't be first. Don't wait around at a place where you got to be first. Oh, my. Because when we finish reading these scriptures, because whoever got in first, they were healed of whatever disease. So if you're unable to get there first, why are you still waiting around the water? Your blessing might come from somewhere else. Be very careful about limiting how God is going to bless your life, how God is going to move in your life. I'm not talking against the fact that the angel moved the water. I'm talking about the fact this man had been there 38 years and couldn't be first. Stop wasting your time. Because with God, you ain't got to be first. Matter of fact, first shall be last. Never mind. Okay. Look at verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. You know, every certain season may not be your season, so stop hanging around certain places. a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Think about that. A certain season, all these people laying around this pool, impotent, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the movement of the water. It seemed like one person a season. One person a season, I don't know how many seasons, got healed. Now, that just don't sound like the God that I know. I've seen several people at the altar at one time get healed, and they weren't necessarily first at the altar.
Oh, my God.
But look at this man's condition. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's deep, because we know we talk about that sometime on this side of the scripture. He must have been crazy. 38 years. Somebody said one time they was preaching here, by that time, 30 years, he could have scooted up to be first. You don't know what he could have done. You know, my man laying back, you know. You know, I don't even know how he got there. I don't know who his family was. But I do know one thing, that when you're dependent on God, if you think God can only move in your life only one way, you'll stay there 38 years. You'll stay in a seemingly hopeless situation all your life because somebody told you this is the only way to get your healing. This is the only way to get your deliverance. You need to check out the word for yourself. Because after 38 years, this man could talk. You'll find out later. I would have told somebody, look here. Monday morning, don't leave me at Bethesda. Because ain't nothing happening for me. I might have been able to move, but my mouth will be moved. I'll be like, tell them off. You drop me off here when y'all go to work. Or whatever y'all do. Trying to get up from here. Anybody tired of being down? Trying to get up? A certain season. And the first one that went in was made whole, which means there were some people there that were in a less, in a better condition than the man who had. But you know, some folk, they don't care about you. Just thank you. You gotta be careful. Some folk, they with you until it's time to get lunch or something. Yeah, we all in this thing together. You let something half jump off that they can take advantage of. A lot of us in the body of Christ need to stop being so selfish.
Hello. Hello.
Somebody there should have said, well, this man be here 30. They probably say, yeah, he's been here 38 years. I guess he'll be here 38 more. I'm going to get my blessings. I'm going to. You know I'm telling the truth. A lot of times we can't hold back sometimes so somebody else can be blessed. You used to being blessed. God's been blessing you all your life. Why don't you hold back sometimes and let that new convert, let that new person in Christ get a little feel for it. But this man, he was like this for 38 years. What I like about the encounter with Jesus is this. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saved from him. See, Jesus encountered him before the man encountered Jesus. I need somebody to know that. Jesus can encounter you before he say a word to you. He don't have to say anything to you to encounter you.
That's good.
Sometimes Jesus can just walk by and know you need him. Here he is, all these impotent people, and he gonna zoom in on the one that's been there 38 years and could never be first. Well, guess what? Today, you're going to be first and foremost. See, you need to know today, I'm glad you pressed your way here and you've been going through some stuff and everybody you talk to, they shut the door on your face. They didn't have any good news for you. Everywhere you went, they want to charge you a fee. And see, you don't have all that money like that. That's why you went to see them. But God is letting you know today that it's okay. It's okay. I got you. I see you. And God said, you've been going through this thing long enough. And I know you understand that when the angel troubles the water, that you need to get in there. That's okay. But the problem is right now, you can't.
Look what he says when he encountered Jesus. And Jesus said, "Will thou be made whole?" Let's not skip that. Somebody today, God is saying to you, "Will thou be made whole?" What is he trying to say? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Have you had enough of that stuff yet? Will you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? And that word in the Greek is the same word we get from hygiene, from the word hygiene in the English. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be healthy? Do you want to be made whole? He's asking that question today. And some of us don't want to be made whole because we like to nurse our hurts. Some of us make money off our hurts. And that's where you're going to have a hurt life because it's productive for you. But if you ever want to be free, if you ever want to be liberated, if you ever want God to have the fullness to dwell in you, you're going to have to let go of some of them hurts. But it's your decision. It is your decision. He asked the man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" My God. Think about that. Do you want to get out of the situation that you're in? Do you want a change in your life? I tell folks, stop complaining if you ain't changing. Same old complaint over and over again. Say every time you say same old complaint, but you don't want to change. And see, we messed that song up. I would ever my life. Now it's hard for me to say. We messed that up because you know why? Because when you say it is well with my soul, that means that whatever God has given you is well with your soul because God is with you. I guess I'm just going through. But you're not going through by yourself. See, it's a blessing to have God in your life. But he asked this man, "Will thou be made whole?" And this man didn't really understand what was going on because sometimes you've been in something so long, you numb to reality. He didn't know who Jesus was at this point. "Will thou be made whole?" And instead of him saying, "Yeah, boy." hey. Yeah, you. What you got? You know, this is us looking on this side of the scripture. You playing with me or what? I've been here 38 years. Don't play with me. Jesus walks up. It's got to be something different about Jesus' voice. It's got to be something different about how he says what he says. Because this man didn't say stop playing with me. Look at verse 7. He says, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man." In other words, are you the man? I have nobody. "When the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But why I am coming, why I'm making my way, because it's hard for me. You know, I labor because I got to push myself. And because, you know, atrophy? Because I've been like this. And because I can't exercise, I got a lot to push here. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. But while I'm coming, another step is down before me." See, when folk like you, folk like me, been messed up for a long time, and the blessing come, they ain't going to wait for you. They going in and get theirs. "Yeah, bro, I know you've been here 38 years. See ya. I'm going in. They didn't even pull them with them. Because it gets deep sometimes. But look at verse 8. Something happened in verse 8. "Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Now, he believed what Jesus said. Because if he had not believed what Jesus said, he would have said, "You crazy. I've been like this 38 years. You talking about, instead of you carrying me to the front, instead of you waiting here with me until the angel troubled the water so you put me in first, you're going to ask me will I be made whole, and then you got the nerve to ask me in the condition that I'm in. You see me laying on this pallet. You know I've been here 38 years. You know I can't help myself. I'm in a helpless situation. And you're going to ask me, rise. 38 years, I couldn't walk. You trying to be funny? See, all of us ain't like me. I get some of my boys to throw you up out of this Bethesda thing here. But he said, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Get up, take up your posturpedic, and walk.
And walk.
Get up. Take up that which you laid on. Now you shall carry that which you laid on and walk. But guess what this man did? He did it. The next verse says, and what? Oh, and with the angel troubled the water? No. Oh, he finally became first? No. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. A seemingly hopeless situation. You might be laying on your pallet of trials and tribulations today, but God is saying to you, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to get out of the mess that you're in? Do you really like, see, be very careful. We are so good at living in stuff. We adjust so well to stuff, we begin to think that's normal for us. But if you read the Word of God, God got something a whole lot better than what. God got so much more for you. Stop reducing yourself to certain things because you're feeling so desperate, because you're feeling so down and out. Because you're feeling that there's nothing else you can do. God is saying, no, you belong to me. You read Psalm 139. You're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. Yeah, you are somebody. You're the apple of God's eye. I tell folk all the time, don't let any other human being define who you are. You look in the mirror and you look in the Bible and you find out you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. You're a royal priesthood. You're precious in his sight. How can you say that, Pastor? Who else died on the cross and got up for you? You're just in a seemingly hopeless situation. And seemingly means that from your vantage point right now, from what you're feeling right now, from what you've been hit with right now, from what you see around me, all I saw around me was other folks that looked like me. They're halt, withered, lame, and blind. I ain't seen nothing but mess. God said, won't you look up sometime? Look around sometime. Look beyond your mess. A lot of times folk were on their way somewhere before they met somebody.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Don't let nobody curtail you. Don't let nobody cut off what God has said for you to do. God told you to do it. Know what God told you. And guess what? Stop counting all the turns you made and all the times you dropped the ball because God said, that's all right with me. I know you're imperfect. I can make it all right. I saw you drop the ball and I forgave you for dropping the ball. It's time for you to forgive yourself. I know they still talking about that. I know they still hating on you, but I'm God and I said it's all right. Oh. You got to learn how to get a filter in your ear. Get that stuff out. Folks know what you did and know how you did it and talking about you. That's because they don't want to talk about themselves. Everybody got some skeletons in the closet. Everybody done messed up somewhere. I don't care what your title is. Pope, pastor, bishop. I don't care. By the blood. Follow me as I follow Christ.
The blood.
Immediately, God's speaking to somebody. I'm good letting you know. You don't have to tell me what you're going through, but God is speaking to you today. You've been in this thing too long. And your answer is in Christ. You might as well stop messing around and come on and give your life to Christ and come on and join a church somewhere. Stop messing around because you're hanging around. You're waiting around a pool that you can't get in. A lot of pools are said for members only.
Oh, that's good.
God got something else for you. God said, you ain't got to get in the pool.
Wow.
Just, that's deep. God knows the rest of them looking around like, what the? What? Everybody else waiting? My family. Hey. See y'all. I'm out. I had enough of this. Some of y'all need to go back home this afternoon and tell your neighbors, I'm out. I had enough of this. Y'all don't talk about me long enough to talk about me and my family and my kids.
Folks don't change sometimes and they get fed up. And so they face with a seemingly hopeless situation. Then they let God in. But your answer is not outside the kingdom. Your answer is in the kingdom. You got to become a kingdom kid. Oh, I know you got folk that's saved in your family praying for you. But God wants you to show up. Because he keep on hearing your name. And he's trying to find out where to send the FedEx angel. He's got a delivery for you. But the FedEx angel can't find your address. Because ain't no blood on your doorpost. Ain't no blood on your life. And the FedEx angel only knows the blood. He only delivers to the blood. Oh my. Immediately. Can you imagine how that man felt after 38 years? Man, shucks. He probably went to Reverend Kevin's house and he made it. Where can I get some of them shoes from? Where can I get them bow ties from? I'm healed. I'm set free. Ha! Glory. Teach me how to drive. I'm going to give you a girlfriend. Oh, what's up? I'm living a life. Not what you used to be. Somebody, you've been down long enough. They done talked about this. They done put their foot on your God. That today is the day that you get up out of that mess. You've been down so long, you thought you needed somebody else to put you in. God said, I'm the one. I'm the man. And I'm going to go one better. Because if the angel moved the water today, you still don't need it. Rise. In other words, come up out of that mess. Get up off of that sad story that you've been telling almost all your life. How your husband left you and your wife left you. And the kids did this. And the kids did that. And I don't go to church no more because the other church I was in, the pastor did that. Well, the pastor's a human just like you. You're on the pallet of misery. And God is saying, get up off that pallet. Because all it does is lock you in. Lock you in. The more you stay, the more you lay. In your mess, in your misery. And you know what folks going to do? They're so tired of hearing you talk about it. They're going to, every morning, they're going to get you, put you in the van. They're going to call paratransit. They're going to put you in the back of the van and put you right in Bethesda Pool. That's all you want out of life? Here you go. I hope you can be first today. Coming back and forth to church with your pallet laying on it instead of carrying that thing. Coming to church, which is being heavy, burdened down with stuff. It's time for the altar prayer, and you don't even come out. You so burdened, you can't move. God said, it's time to move. It's time to come up out of that mess and come on down and give it to me. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. God is trying to let us know, I'm here for you. And I came after you. And he saw you in that condition. And all he said to you was, will you not be made whole? That's all he said. Man said, I ain't got nobody to put me in. Jesus said, good. I ain't got nobody to help me, Jesus. Good. I've been waiting for you to get to this point. I want you to burn down all your bridges and all your relationships. Because I wanted to show you who I am. I am God. I am greater. Then all the stuff you've been through and everything is going to be said in her prayer, then all the things you're going to ask for, I'm greater than that. You want somebody to put you in first? I'm going to tell you, get up, ride, take up your bed. You ain't even got to get wet. Then they had a problem. The Jews said, what you doing walking around with a Simmons perfect sleeper? Let me tell y'all something. You go get some good rest. Get you a good mattress. Stop being cheap. Stop being cheap. Now, come on. If you can feel the, if you can put your hand on it and press it down, it ain't no good. That thing go, boy, no, 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 you don't want that.
Don't come here all tired on me. Get you some rest. Get yourself some rest. Get some good rest. The enemy trying to whoop us, man. You better get some rest. You put that armor on so you can fight. Don't come and bend over because it's dried your back. The Jews therefore said unto them, obscure, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. In other words, see, if it was us, we'd say, you don't know what I, man. I will take this bed, this pallet, and whip, you don't know what I've been, you don't know how long I've been laying around there. And you so worried about me carrying my pallet on Saturday, how come you didn't come on a Friday and look in and see, how come you never talked to me. Some man came and talked to me today. I don't even know right now who he is, but he told me, he asked if I wanted to be made whole, and I told him what my problem was, and he said, cool, rise up. He answered them, he said, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed. They asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed or had mixed himself in the crowd because there was a big multitude in that place. It had, you know, it's a big crowd. You know, the crowd come around when you're being blessed. See, as long as you walk through the neighborhood, you know, with your head down and everything looking the same, but don't drive up in something different. Don't get your house painted. Don't start smiling. Don't have your spouse come skipping out the house like it's all right now. Come on, man. I know what God can do in this cup. Look at verse 14. Afterward, Jesus finding him in the temple and said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. What's worse than being sick? Eternal damnation. All right? So those that got in the water, after the angel troubled the water, they were healed. But were they healed spiritually? They were healed physically. If you go back in the word, he would say, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go and sin no more. Because God is saying, because you well in your body, you got to be well in your spirit. Exercise our eyes. But when you want to exercise your spirit, get in that word. Exercise your faith. Believe God. I like the fact that, because most people get what they want, and they leave the church. This man got what he needed and went to church. He went to the temple. See where Jesus found him at. He found him in the temple. And nowhere in the scripture did it say that Jesus told him his name. But there's some things that happen in your life. You know ain't nobody doing but Jesus. You know, come on. You know. And then the man left the temple and told the Jews that it was who? Jesus, which made him whole. Lock me up. For carrying my bed. But Jesus made me whole. One night in jail ain't nothing compared to 38 years later. What God is saying, what I'm about to do for you is so much better than what you've been through. That's why your rear view mirror is so much farther than your windshield. Because where you've been don't look nothing like where you're going. Oh, you need to understand that thing. Your side views are small too. But your windshield. That's why they got to put it up at the top, out of your vision, out of the way, so it won't distract you. The rear view mirror just lets you know where God took you from. The windshield showing you where he's taking you to. But I need to let somebody know today as we close this thing out. You can't see through your windshield. You can't see through your rear view, your side mirror, or your rear mirror if you're laying down flat on your back. Get up off that pallet. Give God the glory. And give God, you were in a seemingly hopeless situation. But one day, Jesus stopped by my life and said, man, will thou be made whole? But all I knew is I ain't had nobody help me. I ain't had nobody to put me in the pool on a certain season. Jesus looked at me and said, that's all right. He knew my situation. He knew my condition. He said, rise up.
Take up that bed and walk.
You need to know that if you get blessed, some folk ain't going to like it. They want to know what you're doing carrying your bed on the Sabbath. Man, you don't know. I'll carry four beds for what God just did for me. But see, you know what? You got to have hope. And I'm not any better than anybody else in here. But I need to let somebody know something. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. I'm crazy. I believe this. I believe he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I believe the Easter resurrection story. I believe he got it with all power in his hands. And I believe he sent the Holy Ghost to keep us. I believe that he's on his way back. And I believe that we ought to be saved. I believe he ought to be your Lord and he ought to be your Savior. And I believe no matter what I'm going through, if I tell God about it, it's going to be all right. And I believe God will give us the strength to go through what we need to go through so we can get through. I believe he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know he's Mary's baby, but he's my Lord. I know he's Mary's baby, but he's my Savior. I come to let somebody know today, one day you and I were in a hopeless situation. We were locked in sin. But Jesus came and let us out. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. If you're here today and you've been laying on that pallet of trials, tribulations, and troubles, and you think nobody else going to help you, God said, you better come on down here and give your life to me or rededicate. Let us open the doors. Let's open the doors. This is serious.